This little light of mine, I'm letting it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen. That's not me singing, by the way. You know, that song was so beautiful that you sang from that. I wonder if you might sing it again at the end. Our scripture this morning is from the book of Psalms and from the book of Matthew. In Psalm 119, we hear, "You are the light of the lamp on my feet and the light on my path." And in Matthew, he gives us a challenge. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand and give it light for everyone in the house to see. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." In Exodus chapter 4, we hear the story of Moses. And God is calling Moses to lead the people. And Moses says, "But I can't lead the people. I have a stutter." And God says, "Moses, if you'll do this, I promise I will find a way for you to lead the people." And if we remember the story of Moses, we remember that God did find a way. And Moses did lead the people. And that story of Moses reminds me a lot of myself, because I don't have a stutter, but I have this little squeaky voice that gets really, really, really quick when I get nervous, and it keeps me from doing what God calls me to do. And it's kept me for 5 years from coming up here to preach, because even though I know that you all support me and love me, you make me really, really nervous. And so it's only taken me 5 years to get here to share this message with you. But the good news is that it's not about me, and it's not about what I can do, but it's about what God can do through me. It's this little light of mine that shines because God can work through me and share the good news. And so I share that with you this morning in hopes that in some way someone will see their own light that God has given them, and their own ability to shine for him and to share a light in the darkness. I thought I might share with you a bit about my call to ministry this morning. My call to ministry, like most people, begins with a lot of Jesus and a lot of support for my family and a lot of heaven. I bet many of you in this room right now started some kind of service project or some kind of ministry in this church because she called you and said, "I have this great thing that I would love for you to do, and so you should do it." And even if it was taking you the garbage, you felt so excited and so empowered to be a part of that ministry. And she would say, "This too is the work of the Lord. Isn't this the best?" And you would get excited to be a part of whatever ministry it was. And Jean is indeed a huge part of my call to ministry. When my mom was about 13, she, Jean and my grandmother were friends, and they were still friends through this day today. And so when I came to the U.S. and I was a freshman here, my grandmother made sure that Jean called me up and got me started, and Jean called me and she said, "Minnie, we'd love for you to work in the children's ministry department. We need an intern." And so, of course, you can't say no to Jean, right? I came right over. And I did, and I worked with the children, and the more that I spent time with the kids, I realized that God had called me to ministry to children and with families. That my crazy little squeaky voice and my little short stature and my love of cartoons and cooking and baking and kids stuff made it so that I had a heart for children. And that, combined with my deep love of God, made it so that I knew that I was made to worship God and to serve in that way. And that is what God made me to do. And so I continued along in this way now for 5 years here at Trinity and in this role. And it's such a special and blessed way to serve. And I know that that little light that God gave me has been able to shine and to provide that foundation of faith for kids. Because To me, it's so important, and I'm sure to you, that we build a foundation for children when they're so young that they have their whole lives to get to know God and to serve Him. And this morning is such a special day in the life of children and in the life of our community as a church. Today is the third grade Bible presentation at 11, and I knew that if I was ever going to get up the nerve to be here to worship and preach to you this morning, that this is probably a chance to do it, and so I'm here. And so this is a special day for me and for all of us, because this is our chance to be the light and to be the community, to be the family of these third graders who will receive their Bible this morning, to know that inside of Scripture is that path that God provides for us, that Thy Word is a path and a light for us, so that we can know who God is and why it's important to read Scripture and what God wants for us to do in our lives. And so I have for you a video clip this morning that shares a little fast journey through the Bible and why it's important. And I hope that as you watch it, you will see how God has been a light for you through Scripture.
The Bible. It's God's Word, right? But what's it really all about? All the stories, all the verses. Here's a thought. Did you know that there's a thread that runs throughout Scripture? A storyline that begins in the beginning and ends at the end. Here, I'll show you. You know, in the beginning, God created the world, and He saw that it was good. The sun, the moon, the animals. Then He made man and woman. He made them to live with Him in the garden, but they sinned. And their sin created a separation between them and God. But God had a plan that was bigger than Adam and Eve. God had a plan to call people for Himself, and through these people, to bless all people. The Israelites were God's chosen people. But sin wasn't done messing things up. God's people turned from Him. But like I said before, God had a plan all along. This is where Jesus comes from. The little baby boy born in a manger. The man doing the miracles and preaching and teaching. This man, this Jesus, would give His life on the cross as a once and for all payment for our sins. And His payment would forever break down the wall of sin and guilt that separates us from God. Jesus' sacrifice made right the relationship between God and humans. Scripture says one day He'll return to finally redeem all of His children, ushering in an eternal reign from heaven's throne. And from that day on, all nations will join in an eternal song of worship to God. Oh, and you know that thread we talked about? The thread that ties all this together. That thread is love. God's unfailing love for all humankind. A love big enough to seek the redemption and reconciliation of all people throughout all time. A love big enough for the whole world. A love big enough for you. It is a cool story, and it's all right here. So if you want to know more, go ahead. Pick it up. The thread is waiting.
So the cool thing about Scripture is that it's not just a book, right? It's the story. And it's not just a story, it's God's story. It's not just God's story, but it's our story. It's our story that just like little Ben who was baptized this morning, when we are baptized, when we become a part of God's family, we not only have our story, our little light, but we become part of God's story. And we take on that story for ourselves, and we promise that we will walk in that story, and we will share that light with others, and that we will take that torch and keep on sharing the light of the world with the rest of the world. Such an important book that it really makes a difference in how we think and how we know God. And so I hope that you, just like the video said, that you will pick it up and that you will know it and that it will become part of you. And so we come this morning to our challenge in Scripture, the one that Matthew gives us, to be a light to be a sitting on a hill, to have the light of God be such a part of us that it makes a difference in who we are. I can only imagine when that scripture was written, how powerful it was. Back then there was no electricity, and there was no street lights, and there was no flashlights. And when you traveled in the darkness, it was dark. And there was nothing. And there was probably stuff hitting your legs and sounds that you couldn't hear or couldn't see, and you were scared. And so I imagine there's someone traveling in the darkness, and they come upon a light, and they see a city in the distance, and they know that not too far away there's a meal, and there's a bed, and there's safety. And then he calls us not just to think about that story, but to be that story, to be that light for the world, to take our little lights, and let's have them make a difference. And when people meet us, to have them know that there's something different about us that makes a difference in who we are, that we have peace when the world is falling apart around us, that we love other people that no one loves, that we forgive when we need to, and that there's just something in us that makes us different. Maybe it's calling us to be that, to share that light with the world, because darkness is scary, and this world can be a dark place. My son Teddy, who's 3 now, reminded me of this story well. When he was first walking, he was not afraid of the dark at all, but about 6 months ago, he started to really freak out in the dark. And so we just have a little light in his room that we keep on all the time, and it's just there, and I don't have to worry about him being scared in the nighttime. And last spring, at the end of Cheers, we went out to dinner with Emily and with Drew and with Patty Drew and with some other friends, with Justin, to celebrate the end of Cheers. And we had someone from the church come over, a high school student, and watch Teddy. And I got her all set to go. I got the bottles out. I got the diapers. I told her what to fix for dinner. It was all ready to go. But what I didn't tell her was that Teddy would freak out if you turn the light off in the room. So, of course, we get a phone call to the middle of dinner, but Teddy went super freak on this poor little girl and cried everywhere and cried so much that he threw up all over his bed. And the poor little thing was so scared, I felt so bad, because not only as a mother had I scared my child, I had not told the babysitter how scared he was of the dark, but this poor young girl would never talk to me again because she had to clean up puke in somebody else's house and had to sit there with 2 crying kids while we came from across town for dinner. I'm sure that none of you have ever had this kind of experience, right? Well, I felt so bad, and for months after, Teddy would tell us, I coughed in my bed, and the light was off, and daggers in my heart. Because darkness is scary, and he felt that scared moment for him. But darkness is such a powerful image that it reminds me also of another story. You know, it's September, but as Michael's reminds us, the craft store, Christmas is coming, right? And one of my favorite parts of Christmas Eve is that time when we have that Christmas Eve service, and it's the candlelight service, and we darken the worship center, and there's that one candle that comes from the middle, and it comes up to the front, and we all have our candles waiting, and as we sing, and as we worship, and as we remember that Christ came to be our Savior as a little baby boy, we pass that light to one another. And all of a sudden, this whole worship center is aglow with this beautiful, warm light. And we remember that each one of our lights are so important, that God has given us each a light that we can share with the world, and that it's our job to do so. God wants us to have a peace that is a part of us that makes us different. And reminds us that it's our job, it's not just a good idea, it's our job to share that peace with others. Another holiday is coming up, King Taylor-like holidays. The Halloween is just around the corner, and before you know it, Drew will be asking us all to come and to load up the pumpkin patch. And on Halloween, there's that job that all dads are asked to do, cleaning out the pumpkins, right? Because women, we don't do that, right? So it's dad's job to clean out the pumpkin. And as we clean out all of that yucky stuff in the middle, and we make it a nice clean surface, and we have the candle in the middle, isn't that a great image thinking of a great image of God taking out all of the yucky stuff in our lives and replacing it with light and letting that light shine from the inside so that it's just a part of us, that it makes a difference in who we are. And it calls us to share that light with others because we just can't help it. We just can't help but share the good news of who God is with other people. So important. And you're saying to me now, Monique, this is great, I get it, the light, I'm following you, we can be light for the world, but how? How do we do it? And I'm going to tell you. There's two ways. There's one way you can share the light with the world, and that is to think big. Think about ways that you can share the light of God with anyone that you meet, with everyone in the world. At Trinity, we do big really, really well, right? We don't do anything small, everything has to be big and over the top, that's who we are, that's what we do. We just finished the Gathering for Peace, and think about the light that we were for this community to remind the angel and the world that we love one another and we care for one another and we respect one another no matter our differences. And Step Into Africa is coming. Think about the difference and the light that we can bring to the world through Step Into Africa and also through Thanksgiving baskets. So many opportunities to reach so many people with the good news and the light of God. And so I want you to take a part in one of those, to be a part of one of those opportunities at least. And then there's another way to share the light, and that is to think small. There's one thing to share the light of the world with as many people as you can, and there's another way. There's another thing to share the light with just one person, to be a friend to just one person, to be the support for just one person, because there will be days when our lights go out, and we need that support of someone else, for someone else's light to light the way for us. God calls us not just to light the world for the whole world, but for one another, to care and to be the community that one another needs. This is Friendsgiving Sunday. It's that Sunday when we have all of these booths in the back of the worship center with people and their information about their ministry. It's a funny word, Friendsgiving. It's a word combined of two, of friend and of evangelism. And friend doesn't mean the same thing that it used to with Facebook. I know that I have about 372 friends or so on Facebook, but I probably have two friends that I would call, no matter what, minus my husband, that would be there and support me and care for me. And even the word evangelism, it's not always a good word for everyone because of the ways in which it's been done. But if you put those two words together, it means something so much more because it's so, so, so important to have a support system and a friend, especially in church, that you can lean on when you need to and to be that friend for others when they need it. Because there will be a day when you need that, and it's so important to have it before you do. 3 years ago, I needed that support. I needed that help because my light had gone out. Some of you know the story that my mom passed away quite suddenly, and I leaned on you as a congregation so much, probably more than you even know. If you don't know the story, about 3 years ago, my dad had a quadruple bypass, a heart attack. He's had a heart attack, and we, Ryan and I, had gone down to take care of my dad, and we spent the week down there with my family. And he was just about to come out of the hospital, but following Monday he was going to go home, and so we came up here to be in church on Sunday. And that late afternoon, I was just coming back from doing tie-dye t-shirts with the youth group, and I called my mom to see how she was doing, and my mom, who also had a heart problem, seemed tired, but was okay, and she said, "I'm just going to sit with your dad for a little while he eats, and then I'm going to go home." I said, "Okay, well, I love you. Call me tomorrow." And about 9 o'clock that night, we were sitting on the couch watching TV, and I got a phone call. The phone call that you never want to get is from the sheriff's office, who said, "Do you know anyone who drives a black Volvo?" My mom had an arrhythmia, and she had crashed the car, and she had she was brain dead. And so Ryan and I got back in the car, put our still packed bags in the car, threw the baby in the car, 6 months old, and drove the 4.5 hours back down to South Florida. And I had to be strong. I had to be strong for my dad, who had to check himself out of the hospital and had just had this major surgery, And he needed me to be strong. I was the only child, so it was just me who he could lean on. And my mom, I had to be strong for her. I had to sign the papers and do all those things that you never want to have to do. But I had to be strong. And let me tell you, you can't be strong by yourself. But you can be strong if you know that you have a faith in a strong God. Because just like the Creator has told you, we're not alone. God is with us, and we have one another. It is so, so important. And I have this incredible friend family, this church family, and Ryan family who got me through. I mean, I know that Dan came right down. He sat with me at my mom's bedside. We planned her service. But a whole bandload of church staff came and helped me through. Kelly put on a beautiful reception. Julie held my teddy in the back of the service so that we could all be together. Josh Pusey sang A Shadow of the People, a song that Sunlight had just sang, and it made the world a difference. Because there will be times in your life when your light is out and you need the help from other people. So many people in this room were there with me when I needed that strength. Toby and Jeanette and so many others were there. And I pray that if you don't have that, that you will find it. I pray that if you have a chance to be that support for someone else, that you will be there. Because God doesn't just provide us our faith, He provides us with one another. And we can be the light for each other and for the world when we need to be. And I've talked a lot about light this morning. And it reminds me of these little fancy little light bulbs that just came out not too long ago. And I'm sure you all went out and purchased them, right? And you plugged them in and they were really, really good. And you think, great, I just spent $6 on a light bulb. That was like, I know you did that. And, but then, you know, the more that you plug it in, the more that it sits there, the brighter it gets. And isn't that just like us? The longer we are plugged in to reading scripture and to being together and to worshiping God and to serving one another and to sharing the good news, the brighter we get and the more that we get so excited about sharing the good news with others because we just can't help it. It's a part of us. It's inside of us. And our little light, this little light of mine, becomes the bright light for the world. Amen.